Helen and Andy are going to come and read to us first from Psalms 110 and then from Hebrews.
Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit here at my right until I put your enemies under your feet. From Zion the Lord will extend your royal power. Rule over your enemies," he says. "On the day you fight your enemies, your people will volunteer. Like the dew of early morning, your young men will come to you on the sacred hills. The Lord made a solemn promise and will not take it back. You will be a priest forever in the priestly order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right side. When he becomes angry, he will defeat kings. He will pass judgment on the nations and fill the battlefields with corpses. He will defeat kings all over the earth. The king will drink from the stream by the road, and strengthened, he will stand victorious."
And Hebrews chapter 6, starting at verse 14 through to chapter 5, verse 9, verse 10, and then a couple of verses from chapter 7. "Let us then hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we have a great high priest who has gone into the very presence of God, Jesus, the Son of God. Our high priest is not one who cannot feel sympathy for our weaknesses. On the contrary, we have a high priest who was tempted in every way that we are, but did not sin. Let us have confidence then, and approach God's throne where there is grace. There we will receive mercy and find grace to help us just when we need it. Every high priest is chosen from his fellow men and appointed to serve God on their behalf, to offer sacrifices and offerings for sins. Since he himself is weak in many ways, he is able to be generous with those who are ignorant and make mistakes. And because he is himself weak, he must offer sacrifices not only for the sins of the people, but also for his own sins. No one chooses for himself the honor of being a high priest. It is only by God's call that a man is made a high priest, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not take upon himself the honor of being a high priest. Instead, God said to him, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.' He also said in another place, 'You will be a priest forever in the priestly order of Melchizedek.' In his life on earth, Jesus made his prayers and requests with loud cries and tears to God, who could save him from death. Because he was humble and devoted, God heard him. But even though he was God's son, he learned through his sufferings to be obedient. When he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. And God declared him to be a high priest. God declared him to be high priest in the priestly order of Melchizedek." And chapter 7, verses 25 to 28. "And so he," that is Jesus, "is able now and always to save those who come to God through him, because he lives forever to plead with God for them. Since then, Jesus then is the high priest that meets our needs. He is holy. He has no fault or sin in him. He has been set apart from sinners and raised above the heavens. He is not like other high priests. He does not need to offer sacrifices every day for his own sins first and then for the sins of the people. He offered one sacrifice once and for all when he offered himself. The law of Moses appoints men who are imperfect to be high priests. But God's promise made with the vow, which came later than the law, appoints the Son, who has been made perfect forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Now Lisa's going to come and speak to us.
Good morning. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us today. We pray that as we reflect on your word this morning, that you will make plain truths about who you are, that you will give us understanding and wisdom and insight. And as we learn more about you, that you will also give us confidence to come to you and strength to continue to grow in our faith and our love. In Jesus' name, amen. Earlier this month, a man called Patrick McBride, a fireman from Liverpool, was awarded the position of a heroic role that's just about to be relaunched. Does anyone know what Patrick McBride has become? No? He's going to be the new milk tray man. Now, I'm guessing by your reaction, many of you, like me, remember the milk tray adverts. And if you don't, I encourage you to look them up on YouTube. But during those adverts, you could see the milk tray man go to extraordinary lengths and face huge danger, all because the lady loved milk tray. What a hero. And what a lucky lady she was that he would go to such lengths for her love of chocolate. Now, this morning, we are reminded of a far greater love and a far greater length that God went to because of his love for us. Last week, Martin began our series in the book of Hebrews with a reminder that Jesus is God's one and only Son. And today, our study reveals that Jesus is the great high priest. This, I think, is an aspect of Jesus that perhaps we don't always focus on. And maybe that's partly because the image of a high priest is unfamiliar to us. Yet, this is a truth that is crucial not only to our understanding of God, but also to our faith, particularly when life is tough. The original recipients of this letter were in danger of giving up on their faith because of the hardships that they were experiencing. And so the writer was encouraging them to persevere in their faith and not to give up, and explaining to them some of the truths about Jesus that their faith was built upon. Today, our challenges in life are very different. Living in Chelmsford in 2016, we aren't persecuted for our faith in the same way that the early believers were. And the temptations and the distractions that we face come in all different guises. Nevertheless, there are times for all of us when we find it hard to follow God and to submit to his will. And as life throws all kinds of unexpected things at us, many of us are faced with some very big questions during our Christian life. How do we hold on to our faith in God when we feel hurt? How do we stay true to our faith when we feel like God has let us down? How do we keep trusting God when life seems so unfair? This letter to the Hebrews reminds us of the depth of God's love for us and how he was intent on bringing each one of us into his kingdom, so much so that he went to extraordinary lengths to send Jesus into our world. And in these verses, the writer wants us to begin to grasp what it means for Jesus to be the great high priest, so that we can experience a renewed confidence in the living God. life can still be unfair. Hebrews doesn't deny that. If anything, it acknowledges that as fact, and it anticipates that the pain and injustice of this world will challenge our faith. But Jesus, the great high priest, has enabled us to have unlimited access to God. He is the ultimate way that God can identify with humankind. He is the way that enabled God to resolve the conflict within him, both to love the people he'd made and also to reign in righteousness and with justice. So let's look at what it means for Jesus to be the great high priest, so that we can understand how that helps strengthen our faith when life is so hard. Our reading began in verse 14 by encouraging us to hold on to our faith, for we have a great high priest who has gone into the very presence of God, Jesus, the Son of God. Now, to understand the significance of these words, we need to understand the role that high priest held for the Jewish people that we can see described in the Old Testament. Essentially, the high priest was the main representative between the people of Israel and God. Now, although he shared in a number of duties with the other priests, only the high priest can enter the most holy place. And he was only allowed to do that once a year on the Day of Atonement. Now, on that day, there was a great ceremony involving ritual baths, special clothing and sacrifices. And the great high priest would take two goats. He'd offer one as a sin offering for the people. And he'd take the other one and lay his hand on the other goat. And that goat became known as the scapegoat. And he'd confess the sins of the people and release the scapegoat into the desert. Now, in this way, the high priest acted as a mediator between the people and God. It was a role that held great responsibility, but it was also a role I imagine would be quite daunting. When he entered the most holy place, the great high priest wore bells around his robe and a rope around his ankle, so that if the bells stopped ringing and the other priests were worried that something had happened to him, they could pull him out using the rope, because no one else was allowed to enter the most holy place. Now, what Hebrews is telling us is that we do not need a mediator anymore to stand between us and God, because Jesus has made it possible for every one of us to have unlimited access to God. You see, Jesus has surpassed all other high priests. He didn't just go into the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. Jesus went into the very presence of God. And more than that, he now stands in that place, welcoming every single one of us into God's presence. Because of Jesus, we now have free and direct access to God. We can approach him continually. And as verse 16 tells us, we can have confidence as we approach God's throne. Jesus is the victorious high priest who has ripped away the obstacles that separated us from God and who has paved the way for us to join him in God's kingdom. And that is what he longs for us to do. So much so that we read in verse 25 of chapter 7 that he lives forever to plead for those who come to God through him. Jesus reaches out to us, drawing us in. As well as being the victorious priest, he is also the compassionate priest. We've heard already about the ceremonial role in offering sacrifices that the high priest held. But he also had a pastoral role in getting alongside the people. Verse 2 of chapter 5 tells us that every high priest was able to be gentle with those who are ignorant and make mistakes, since he himself is weak in many ways. But Jesus is different. he did not sin. But because he was tempted in every way, he's able to feel sympathy for our weaknesses. Now, there are two things I want to highlight from these verses about Jesus being the compassionate priest. Firstly, I think it can be a bit confusing that when we read that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are. Life is so different today. Temptations come in different ways. So what is it that the writer is trying to tell us? Clearly, the writer wasn't saying that Jesus had personally experienced every single specific temptation that's ever been known to mankind. But what he was saying was that the essential nature of sin remains the same. And there are common root causes that lie beneath every temptation. It was the root causes of these temptations that the writer was saying that Jesus had experienced. And because of that, he reminds us that Jesus knows and understands how we feel. More than that, Jesus was the one person who himself had the power and the ability to take himself away from temptation, to rescue himself. He is the Son of God. He had power beyond our understanding. And yet, Jesus chose to limit that power. Surely that would add to the stress of the temptation. And still, he did not sin. As the writer of Hebrews encourages us with the truth that Jesus understands how we feel, he seems to have one particular temptation in mind. And that is the temptation to give up on your commitment to God under severe suffering. For Jesus, the ultimate time of temptation came in Gethsemane. In that place, he could have chosen not to follow God, not to go through with a cross. And life would have been very different for all of us. Jesus knows firsthand the cost involved in choosing to go God's way. He knows how hard it can be to choose to trust in God, even when life seems unfair. So he knows more than anyone how we feel when we are faced with that dilemma. And because he is the compassionate priest and the victorious priest, Jesus can help us in those situations. Verse 15 reminds us that he feels sympathy for our weaknesses. And this is the second point that I want us to begin to grasp. When he says Jesus feels sympathy for us, he's not saying Jesus feels sorry for us. He's not even saying that Jesus has experienced it so he can empathize with us. This word sympathy that he uses means to be compassionate to the point of helping. Compassionate to the point of helping. So not only does Jesus understand how we feel, he longs to get alongside us and help us through it. Now that for me is one of the greatest things about the priesthood of Jesus. He is the ultimate compassionate priest. He knows what it's like to feel weak, abandoned, hurt, in despair, and to feel like giving up. He's understanding. He's gentle with us. He is on our side. And he wants to help us through all of the painful and challenging situations that we face in life. And if we let him, he can also help us to persevere in our faith and stay true to God, even in the midst of such trials. Because Jesus is also the obedient priest. In verse 7 of chapter 5, the writer takes us back to that moment in Gethsemane when Jesus was crying out to God to save him from the path that lay before him. We read, "In his life on earth, Jesus made his prayers and requests with loud cries and tears to God, who could save him from death. Because he was humble and devoted, God heard him. But even though he was God's son, he learnt through his sufferings to be obedient. You see, in that moment, Jesus knew God had the power to save him. God had the power to stop him from having to face the pain of the cross. But God didn't save him. God didn't take that suffering away from him. Despite his pleas, Jesus still had to choose to obey God's will. And that meant choosing to die on the cross. And in that moment, to be separated completely from his Father in heaven. Having cried out to God to save him, Jesus came to that point of submission. He chose to obey God's will, despite knowing exactly the consequences that lay before him. Now, I think, again, it's important to highlight here what the writer means when they say he learned through his sufferings to be obedient. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus hadn't learned how to be obedient already. Jesus was always obedient. He always did what God wanted him to do. He never sinned. But at this moment, in this extreme suffering and act of sacrifice, as he chose to obey God's will that would lead to the cross, he learnt what the full extent of obedience truly meant as he surrendered his will to God. Jesus is the obedient priest, and he knows how difficult it can be sometimes for us to choose to follow God's path and to choose to trust in God for the outcome. And because he chose to obey himself, he's the one person who can help us at those difficult and painful times in our life. We all know that choosing to follow Jesus doesn't make for an easy way of life. And Hebrews reminds us that the way of Christ is actually the way of persistent obedience. Jesus didn't gain victory in a magical moment of power. He resolutely pursued the will of God, obeying him to the end and proving himself to also be the perfect priest. Verse 9 tells us that when he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. Having chosen to accept God's will and gone to the cross, his mission was accomplished. In the past, all the other high priests had offered a sacrifice for the sins of the people every year on the Day of Atonement. But Jesus didn't need to offer a sacrifice. He was the sacrifice. And his death made it possible for everyone to be saved and to enter God's kingdom. Because of Jesus, we can receive forgiveness. Because of Jesus, we need not be afraid when we enter the holy presence of God. Again, I think it's important for us to note that when the writer said Jesus was made perfect, he wasn't implying that Jesus had been imperfect before. In effect, Jesus' obedience qualified him to be exalted to the right hand of the Father. And from now on, he was able to fulfill his role as the great high priest to completion. Let me read to you those few verses at the end of chapter 7 that we heard earlier. Jesus then is the high priest that meets our needs. He is holy. He has no fault or sin in him. He has been set apart from sinners and raised above the heavens. He's not like any other high priests. He does not need to offer sacrifices every day for his own sins first and then for the sins of the people. He offered one sacrifice, once and for all, when he offered himself. The law of Moses appoints men who are imperfect to be high priests. But God's promise, made with a vow which came later than the law, appoints the Son who's been made perfect forever. Because Jesus is the victorious, compassionate, obedient, perfect, great high priest, we can look to him when life is tough and when we're struggling. He's the one to whom we can turn, and he can help us to persevere in our faith. Let's go back for a moment to where that reading began. In verse 14, it says, "Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we have a great high priest." It is in knowing who Jesus is and seeing him as our high priest that we can come to him to find strength when life is hard. To hold to the faith we profess means to continue to live out our belief through our lifestyle of commitment. It's not about choosing to follow Jesus one day and saying, "That's it, I've professed my faith." It's an ongoing thing. And this is where we can so often fall when life is hard. We struggle to see God's power at work, and we wonder what the point is of living his way when we're faced with such pain or hardship. But as we look to Jesus, we know that we're meeting with someone who knows what it means to choose to pursue the will of God to the end, and who demonstrated the love and faithfulness of God, making it possible for us to have free and continuous access to the living God. And so we can approach God's throne with confidence, knowing that he is the one who has ultimate power and authority, the one who can transform our lives, and the one who can strengthen and sustain us through even the darkest of days. It is here, at God's throne, that we find mercy to cover the sins of yesterday, and we find grace to meet the needs of today. And the way that we are encouraged to approach him is to turn to him in prayer. Why is it when things are hard that so often we find ourselves withdrawing from God, too busy, too tired, or too hurt to pray? When actually, in those moments, we need him more than ever. The letter to Hebrews reminds us that in the painful moments when we feel hurt and disappointed, when we feel like our faith is failing, we should run to God. We should cry out to him in prayer. And we should look to Jesus, who knows and understands everything that we're going through, and who is in God's throne room, interceding on our behalf. So let me encourage you this morning to look afresh at Jesus and to recognize him to be your victorious, compassionate, obedient, perfect, great high priest. Let me encourage you to turn to him for help when life is tough. Let me encourage you to see again the lengths that God went to bring each one of us into his kingdom, to welcome us into his presence, because he loves us so much. And let us each be encouraged to persevere in our faith, to trust in God, and to worship him. Let's take a moment of silence to reflect on God's word, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Loving God, we thank you that you demonstrated your love for us so much by sending Jesus into our world. And thank you that Jesus is our great high priest. Lord, I pray for those of us who are struggling this morning, who are finding it hard to hold on to our faith, who are feeling that life is unfair. Lord, help us to draw closer to you. Help us to remember that you know how we feel. And Lord, as we draw close to you, Lord, please be our strength and sustain us in these difficult and challenging days. Lord, I pray for each of us that you will give us a fresh vision of who you are. Help us to see what it truly means for us that you are our high priest. Help us to come boldly and confidently to your throne, to bring all our needs and concerns to you, to trust you, to worship you. And Lord, I pray that you will be our strength and you will help us to know how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.